Tom Gazzola joins us. Tom, I guess, surprised by Sam Gagne being placed on waivers today.
Yeah, Greg, I thought given all that Dave Tippett said about Sam Gagne in training camp and in the preseason, and then as well as where he put him on the roster when Gagne was actually playing in games, that Sam Gagne would essentially be a lock to be on the team. And he didn't necessarily, he obviously didn't shoot the lights out offensively or wow anyone, but just given the fact that there's that rapport there, it was a good news story for Gagne coming back to the Oilers last season. He's well-liked in the community, and he was a fan favorite his first go-around. I thought that Gagne would be on this roster, but the only inkling I had that Gagne, you know, might, there was that chance that he might not be around was after the game in Calgary. It was brought up is what did Sam Gagne really do? Basically, that was the premise of the idea and the discussion. And it's like, well, not a lot. But then you could look at a guy like Marcus Granlund and be like, well, what did Marcus Granlund do? Also not a lot. Yes, he got hurt last week when they were in that didn't help him whatsoever. But to me, it was a safe assumption to have Gagne on the roster somewhere, especially considering the fact that, you know, on the outside looking in, you could kind of slide him around all over that forward unit, and he wouldn't necessarily hurt you. But Dave Tippett said that the Euros and the younger guys kind of came in and pushed things a little bit, and I think, obviously, when Shahan gets healthy, him, Jujhar Khaira, and Archibald, that seemed to be a line that was building momentum and had something going, so you know, that takes away three forward spots for Gagne to try to slide in and solidify himself. That, you know, at the end of the day, he was the odd man out. And to me, it was a bit of a surprise. Here we are. You know what? And Dave Tippett even hinted at maybe this isn't his last stint as an Oiler. Maybe we see him throughout the season in certain instances if there's injuries or what have you.
Tom Gazzola joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader. TSN 1260. Strutty, what do you think about Gagne?
Well, I guess my thought would be this. Is it how Gagne played, or is it more about what they want their bottom six to look like? Because it seems to me they're trying to build up a hardworking, quick skating or quicker skating than last year, bottom six that can have some offensive zone time. Would that be a fair assessment, and maybe that's why it happened with Gags?
Yeah, Strutty, that's fair. But here's the thing now is you kind of knew what Gagne would bring to the table, right? There's a history and a rapport there. Whereas a guy like Yurcho, you know, the ceiling potential is decent. Nygaard, are we going Nygaard, by the way, on this program?
We are, because that's what he told us his real name is.
Okay, good. All right, so Nygaard, also a bit of an unknown. Don't know what his offensive potential is as well, but he's known to be an offensive guy in Sweden. Haas looks like he's coming around, but at the NHL level, again, big question mark. And Kobe Cave, I guess, you know, like you said, Strutty, if they're looking for bottom six type of guys, Kobe Cave probably fits that mold more than a Sam Gagne. And then Patrick Russell, I mean, he's been Dave Tippett's darling since the start of training camp, I think. So I kind of had him penciled in as one of the guys that Tippett had on the roster, and here he is. But that's the thing is, especially the two Euros, is you're not really sure what they'll be able to do when the regular season starts offensively. And with Gagne, you kind of have an idea, and you can slot him in easier. But I think they're kind of rolling the dice on Haas and Nygaard to see what they can do and if they could be consistent, decent providers offensively. And then, Yurcho is another one that you could fall. He falls into that category as well. So I think it's a bit of a roll of the dice. But if nobody claims Gagne, we could see him back here in a month if none of those other guys work out.
Gazzola joins us talking all things Edmonton Oilers. Tommy, when you look at Willie Lagesson, you know, is there room for him moving forward the Edmonton Oilers?
Yes, and I say that because listening to guys from Bakersfield, they love that guy. They think Lagesson is close to being ready. You know, we heard Dave Tippett talk about him and spoke, you know, highly of him as well. The only thing that hurts him is the fact that he's a left shot, and he's kind of flown under the radar a little bit in his time in the organization. But he's quietly become a solid prospect for them, and he's being recognized for that. I know he got sent down, but he was here till the end of training camp. He got some decent looks, and if they can't find a way to squeeze him in on this roster with the big club at a certain point, Struddy, maybe he could be a bargaining chip or something that the Oilers could throw into a trade down the line to sweeten it up, because at some point, this pipeline of defensemen, something's got to give. And, you know, potentially it could be, let's say, Matt Benning continues to struggle and he's the whipping boy of the fan base 40 games into the season while Evan Bouchard's playing solid down in Bakersfield. Then we could see a move there and Bouchard comes up. And then if you need to sweeten the pot, you could toss in another one of your prospects. And then when other guys that are prospects that need playing time, need that playing time, then there's availability for them in terms of minutes down in Bakersfield. So there's a bit of a log jam right now, but Lagesson is getting a certain consideration for what he's done. And then if ultimately the management decides that, hey, you know, we have too many guys like him, too many left shot defensemen that we just don't have a spot for him, then they could move him along and potentially turn him into a different type of asset.
Zola Chronicles brought to you by Popeyes Louisiana. What did you make of Evander Kane?
Just stupid. Like, and you know what caught me about that last night? Like, I know that San Jose and Vegas, they don't get along. That's great. It's turning into a budding rivalry that I think is excellent, first of all. I love watching those games. The way that playoff series ended was horrible, but entertaining beyond belief. And I love that Evander Kane and Ryan Reeves get into it, but I know they're setting the tone. I know they're playing each other again right away, and that was a dress rehearsal. The thing that caught me about that play was the slash first. And I thought the slash is what they were getting him on. And then I think that's what led to him getting caught up with the linesman, because I think the linesman came over to like settle him down first of all. But then...
Well, the linesman came down and then just took him down.
He took him down, and then that's where we saw Kane push off.
This will be my studs on. Don't ask me about it.
Now, you guys could correct me because, you know, you're a little bit older than me, but back in the day, linesmen, when they're – I'm not throwing you guys under the bus, age-wise. I say it with all due respect to both of you. But back in the day, like, when scuffles happened and a linesman would get involved, it wasn't like as soon as you saw the linesman, you'd stop moving and fighting the other guy, right? There was always a little bit of jostling. But he kind of pushed off, and obviously, I think, to me, the worst part was the slash that he was trying to hit the Vegas Derek Englund with, and I think he caught the linesman. I think the linesman came over to him, took him down, like you said, Greg, and then the push was just the icing on top. So it's old habits die hard for this guy, obviously. I thought Evander Kane had learned his lesson, especially when he got traded again. And he was welcomed with open arms by the Sharks, and Joe Thornton picked him up. And, you know, after he had settled in with San Jose, they were talking about how well he just acclimatized himself to the room and that he's matured. But then you see him go and do something like he did last night, which I just think was outright stupid and an example of old habits dying hard when it comes to Evander Kane. And, you know, he'll pay the price for it, and then it's too bad because especially on a San Jose team that lost some pieces last year, or from last year, they're going to need him. And if they want to stay in the mix, especially, I think they're going to be one of the better teams in the Pacific Division, but if they want to keep up with Vegas, they're going to need Evander Kane, and they can't have him getting suspended for dumb stuff like that.
Quickly, who is the starting goalie for the Oilers on Wednesday night?
You guys, I think it's Mike Smith. I really do. I think it has to do with Dave Tippett having the rapport with him. I don't think Mikko Koskinen did a lot to instill confidence in the fan base, myself, like if I'm looking at it as an outside observer, and just Even the other night when Koskinen started against the Flames and they won 6-2, someone asked Dave Tippett after the game about Koskinen's performance in a 6-2 win. And the only thing he really said is he kind of shrugged his shoulders and he goes, "Well, I didn't like that first goal." To me, that was kind of a bit of an indicator as to maybe his thought process where he thinks his goaltenders are at. So I think it's going to be Mike Smith. But if at the end of the year, if Mike Smith plays 50 and Koskinen plays 30, somewhere around there, I wouldn't be surprised.
Tom, we'll chat with you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.